let's discuss how to be rich, not get rich, all right? We're talking about two different things. We're not talking about getting rich. We're talking about being rich, all right? We've asked this question before, but it's always a fun one. All right, so if you won the lottery, now, let's not say, okay, I help my parents, or I help, and I'll pay this, and I mean, just talk about the fun stuff. I mean, that's fun stuff, too. But, like, what's something that, and last time you said I'd get a Corvette, Pappy. You can't say that now. And so what's just something that's fun that you're like, ah, I just always wanted that, and now, I mean, I'm just going to get that. Or what is it?
Driving school.
Maybe you needed that before the vet. That's funny. What else? What's that? Race car driving school. Yeah, there are those. Nate, what else? Something you do with the money. We have some that actually do race cars. That's true. Go ahead. Something you buy or something you get or do.
Vacation home.
A vacation home. I hadn't even thought about that. A vacation home. That'd be great. Become really popular. Can I borrow your vacation home? What else? This one's an easy one. You all thought about this. What is it? College paid for. Yeah, but let's listen to the fun stuff. I mean, that's kind of fun, but yeah.
Well,
A pony. You'd get a pony. You get a lot of ponies. Yeah, you can get a whole ranch probably if we win the lottery, if you won the lottery. What else? Let's talk about cars. What car, what vehicle would you get? A Mustang? Yeah, you won the lottery. You can actually crank it up a notch, but Mustang's cool. What else? Yes, you're a convertible Jaguar? One of each. You get one, the convertible, one not. One more, Liam. Go ahead. That there's an RV. Remember that from vacation? Yeah, see, that's good. Yeah. All right, now, we've all played that game that what would we do if we won the lottery? That's fun. We've also said that if we were rich, we would give. You know, we'd give to our family, we'd give to our friends, we'd give whenever we had the opportunity, right? There are people, a lot of times the rich get a bad rap. There are people that, whether rich or poor, that are good, that are bad, that are helpful, that all the stuff. So, but we would want to be among the rich that help and give and do all of those things. That's true of me, that's true of you. We've said that, you know, I would give, I would help. And so now we've said this, even though when you look at the world, like the video we showed earlier was an example of, we are actually considered among the rich, right? I mean, because we have so much more than most people in the world. In fact, if you have any extra anything, I mean, really, if you have extra clothing, you have extra car, you know, you have extra whatever, extra money, well, then you and I, we can say that we're among the rich. In fact, there's something that could be helpful whenever we're dealing with a financial struggle. I mean, they're real. We, you know, I'm not going to diminish that. We have some struggles. We get that. But it would be helpful for our perspective if we say, you know what, that's a rich person problem. This is what I mean. Like, if water is a good example. We just showed the water. You know, they don't have clean water and all that stuff that's going to happen. I love that video, that update. We have so much water here that we actually have these things that we hook up and these systems that we actually take all this extra water and we shoot it out into the ground so that we have green grass. This is how much extra water. And we get frustrated, but we can only do that twice a week or once a week. That's a rich person problem, right? Other people in the world are like, you do what with water? You spray it into the ground so that it just goes into the ground. Is that what I hear? Yeah, that's kind of like a rich person problem. Or when we say, man, I'm down to one car or I'm down to two cars, that can be frustrating. But for perspective check, we might just tell ourselves, you know, that's a rich person problem. I mean, it really is. Whenever we think, I don't really have anything in the pantry, so we're just going to go out to eat. Where do you want to go? Let's just go anywhere. Well, that's a rich person problem. Nothing in the pantry, right? Because there could be, but there just doesn't. It's not always. Or when we're thinking about shoes, and man, I want these shoes, but you know, my friends have these shoes or this clothing, and I'd really like to have that clothing, but I can't afford it. Well, you know, still, that really is kind of like a rich person problem. So it's a good perspective check, I think, for all of us. Now, there's something that we don't think about when it comes to wealth, most of us, and it's that it has side effects. Now, we're thinking, well, I'd like some of the side effects that I would get with wealth, but that's not what we're talking about. If you're a Christ follower, then you've heard that we're supposed to put our hope in the Lord. right? And we often say stuff like that, but what does that even mean, right? Hope in the Lord. Cross your, no, no. It's relying on the Lord. It's relying on the Lord for security and for provision and for peace and for joy. You know, that's what we put our hope in. And we rely on him for those things. But what can happen, a side effect from when we accumulate more and more wealth, is that our hope can shift from the Lord to stuff. We can begin to have our hope in stuff. So we begin to rely on stuff. We begin to rely on the job and on money and on those things to provide joy, to provide security, to provide joy, right? And we all know, I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know, but that shift can happen. And it seems like that the more wealth that we accumulate, the more that that shift actually begins to happen. So what you and I have to decide in advance is right here, that we will not place our hope, will not rely on our riches, but on him who richly provides. This is our bottom line for the day. This is kind of our theme for the day, that we will not place our hope in riches, but on him who richly provides. So we're going to be in 1 Timothy 6. And so if you want to use your phone app, you know, we set on an app called YouVersion. We set up the verses and all that, so you'll see people on their phones. Or if you brought your Bible, then you can look at that. Now, 1 Timothy 6, it's the inspiration for be rich, all right? It's the inspiration for it. And so you know, be rich is something, we're not the only ones that have done it. There are it started really with a church called North Point, and they did it. And so we're part of something even much larger than what we're experiencing right here. But it's the inspiration for be rich. Now, Paul is writing to Christians who are the haves, right? There's the haves and the have-nots, however you would divide that up. But clearly, these are people that have. And so the more that we get what we talk about today, the more rich we become. Now, we're not talking about getting rich. We're talking about being rich. Big difference, and we'll unfold that. So let's look at it. Let's look at verse 17. As for the rich in the present age, and we'll leave this verse up for a second, charge them not to be haughty, that means arrogant, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. So go ahead and leave that up. All right, so first of all, it says this present age. Now, is there a past age? Is there a future age? Well, now, 97% of people believe that we are not, this is what happens here on this earth is not the end of it, right? It's not, all right? There's going to be some more that happens when we die and we move on, that we go to some place for a really long time. Like 97% of people believe that. So this is talking about, okay, the present age, where we are now, but it's also implying there's also a future age, all right? Now, let me ask you all this question. It says not to set hopes on the uncertainty of riches. Why are riches uncertain? Give me some quick feedback. It could go away, and it can go away fast. Yes, that's good. What else? Dig in. Think. Think about what we believe that it promises. It promises peace, security, and joy. And can it deliver on any of those things? Sometimes, maybe temporarily, we feel more secure, but are we really secure? Can money and wealth really provide security? No. There are a lot of people that thought so, that left their riches on this earth and they had to move on. So uncertainty of riches. And so that's big, right? So we don't, and we all do this. We set our hope and so much of it on either wealth, even people, but right now, but today we're talking about wealth. We set our hope on those things. If only this, if only that, if I could get this, if this could be my circumstance, then everything would change. We're placing our hope in that rather than our hope in him who richly provides. See, what happens is that we go for the wrong kind of rich. Let me show you a definition of I just went to Webster. Remember Webster? Now it's Merriam-Webster. It's not just Webster. I looked it up. I don't know who Merriam. I know Webster. This is a little guy on a TV show. Remember that from the 80s? Webster. But Merriam-Webster, and it says this. The first one says having abundant possessions. Now, we know that. We know that one. But the second one is having high value or quality. So when you think about life, it's like, I have a rich life. I'm not saying I'm rich. See, if I say I am rich, well, then maybe that's abundant possessions. But having high value or quality, it's, I have a rich, rich life. Now, the thing about this, let me see if I say this right, because I'm looking at it. You can, if you have the first one, it doesn't mean that you'll have the second one. Right? But you can have the second one without the first one. And if I were to ask, okay, what would you prefer? Would you prefer having wealth, which is number one, or would you prefer like quality? We would all say quality, every single one of us. But yet, if you look at our lives and the things that we focus on, it seems to fall more into that first category than that second category. And so this is why we're talking about it today, because we all struggle with it. We have to remember that we are not going to put our hope in riches, number one, but on Him who richly provides. And that's number two. All right, now, Paul actually tells us how, all right? And before we get to that, though, you have to understand, this is to Christians, right? This is not to everybody. This is to Christians who have actually put their hope in the Lord, all right? So this is the assumption, all right? You've put your hope in the Lord, and so that should have side effects, too. This means that you should put your hope, your focus, and everything on the Lord, all right? And so if you're going to be rich, not get rich, if you're going to be rich, have a high-quality, high-value life, then you have to know how. Now, before Paul shows us how, we're not going to show it up here. I'm actually going to read to you verses because Peter also talks about it, and I love how he says it. He says, and he's talking about these qualities. If you are a Christ follower, then there should be side effects to that too. And the side effects are, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, the fruit of the Spirit, things that should just be part of our life. And so these are kind of the things that Peter's talking about. He says, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, all right, so we don't just have a certain amount of generosity. We just grow in it, or love, or forgiveness. We just continue to grow. So if you have these and they're increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. They keep you from being ineffective in your faith if you're growing in these things. Vice versa, if you're not growing in these things, then you're having your faith is not effective. It's not helpful for you or for anybody else. And same is true of me. It says, for whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. Be all the more diligent to be firm in your faith and know that your faith is there, that it's real, it's authentic. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. And then it ends by saying, for in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you'll have riches, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. All right, now Paul's going to give us the key on how we do this. So let's look at verse 18. And it says, this is what we're supposed to do. Now it's talking to Christians, but we're Christians. If you're a Christ follower, then this is talking to you and me too. So what are we to do? We're to do good. We're to be rich in good works. That's how we're to be rich, in good works, to be generous and ready to share. I love that. That's good. Okay, let me ask you a question. Would you say that you're ready to share? Look, let's look at the next slide. I'm going to see what category do you think that you're in when it comes to this. Would you say, we're talking about when God presses on your heart to give. All right, so we're talking giving toward the church, giving beyond the church, giving to family and friends or stranger, when God prompts your heart, not just when we feel like it, right? When God calls you to give regularly, obediently, spontaneously, whenever it is, are you unwilling to share? Reluctant to share? Or are you ready to share? All right, let's leave these up for a second. All right, unwilling to share. If we... A great thing to do is when we talk about stuff like this, is we take these things and then we just, wow, that made a point to me. I find out where I see where I am, and now I'm going to go away and I'm going to think about this. Because I'm going to ask myself, why am I in the category that I am? Why am I, if it's unwilling to share? If you kind of know at your gut level, I really am. So why? Well, why is that? Why do I feel unwilling to share? I mean, do I just feel it's mine? Am I trying to protect it? Am I hoping in it too much? Is that, I don't know. And that's the type of thing where that's a step toward growth when we're actually willing to admit where we are, wherever we are, and say, well, why am I where I am? And what does God say about where I should be? Those are two of the steps right there. Okay, one is, why am I where I am? Where would God have me be? And the next one is, how can I take a step? Right? So if I'm reluctant to share, reluctant or just kind of feel like, oh, I mean, I don't want to, but I'm supposed to. And so even if we're on that category, reluctant to share, the thing is, if we're reluctant to share, then we're going to give in three ways usually. And that's spontaneously. It's like basically whenever we feel like it. Something tugs on it, well, I'll give to that. I kind of feel like giving to that, so I'll give to that. The other one is sporadically. We'll just kind of give here and there, not regularly as the Lord has called us to give, and sparingly. We're gonna give only so much. But it's different if we are ready to share. But even in that, we don't just say, I'm ready to share so I can move on to the next point. No, we have to even ask there, well, if I'm ready to share, why am I ready to share? Because you didn't make yourself ready to share. You're just not a generous person. That's not the way it is. God did something in us to make us ready to share. So it's good to ask, why am I ready to share? And if I am ready to share, then how would the Lord have me grow in this and what's a step I can take? Right? Because it never ends. We're to grow in everything. You know, we don't reach like a spot, like a love spot. Okay, I'm good with love now. I'm good with forgiveness. I've forgiven enough. You know, I'm generous enough. You know, I've served enough. No. We are to continue to grow in all things. You know, remember what Peter said, to have these things in an increasing way. So this is important. We've got to find out, where are we in this? And these are the type of questions we have to ask ourselves. And we're not talking about stuff that's extra credit. These are just things, if you're a Christ follower, these are just things that should just flow out of us naturally in a growing way. I mean, not perfectly, but in a growing way. Because again, if you're a Christ follower, that has side effects too. All right, let's take a look at verse 19. I think that's the next slide. This is the result. Thus, storing up treasure for themselves, or for yourselves, if you're generous and ready to share and rich in good deeds, not just with money, but your time and your energy, for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. Okay, let's leave that one up now. All right, so it's saying, look, if we learn how to be rich, if we learn how to be generous, if we know how to be rich really in this world, then we're actually storing for ourselves treasures in this life and in the life to come that money can't buy. I mean, it's beyond anything that can be purchased. It's that high quality of life that we talked about in that second definition of rich. It's having a really rich life. So God, the way he works is different, right? Because he says, if you give, then you store more. That's different than we think. We think if we save, we store more. He's saying, no, you give and you store more. That's how God works. This is where trust comes in, because it's like, okay, I believe that God provides. I believe that the more that I, you know, give, the more I store. That's great. But if we really trust him, then we're actually going to follow him into it. And when we follow him into it, then that's when we experience these treasures, not only in this world, we'll be rich, but also in the world to come. And we'll go ahead and leave that up for a second. The result, if we are ready to share, if we are ready to give as the Lord leads, the result is something that every one of us wants. Every single one of us wants to have a life which is truly life. We want to experience life for all that is. We want to get every last drop. And it just see how all this is so different than the way our culture thinks? This is saying, because in our culture, it's you take and you take and you take and you take. And you add yourself, and you add yourself, and then you're experiencing the life that's truly life. They say, no. You give, and you give. And when you do that, that's when you experience a life that's truly life. You don't take, you give. And that's something that every one of us wants. And if every one of us wants that, then the natural thing would be, I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to be rich in good deeds. And then I'm also going to be rich in generosity and ready to share. Because I know when it comes to ready to share, I have felt that where you kind of feel, in fact, the very first sermon, I won't talk about it now because I'll preach it again later and I want to give it away. It's all about a baseball, okay? And God wanted me to give it away, and it was a very special baseball, and I didn't want to give it away. I felt that thing. I'm talking, and this person's telling me their story about their life, and they were struggling. I knew them well. I didn't want to give them the baseball because it meant a lot to me. I wasn't ready to share. I reluctantly gave the baseball, and it turned into a treasure, the whole story. I won't tell it now. But I know that feeling of reluctance of, I just don't want to. I'm feeling God wants me to. I'm short on finances as it is, but I think I'm supposed to help that person. Right? That just that inside feeling that we hide with a smile, right? But it's real. We know it. We all have that feeling. I mean, that's just who we are. But so it's not storing for ourselves. The more that we give, the more that we actually store. So again, once again, God, he has a different scale. What you and I usually hope in, and we put our joy in, and the things that we want, man, they just collect dust after a while. You know, and it's not saying it's bad stuff. We got people with cool cars and cool guns and cool this and cool that. All that stuff is great. It's not anything against that. But eventually, that stuff is going to be in a big old pile of garbage. It's going to be rusted out. It's going to be gone. At some point, it's going to be gone. And so will we. So let's look at the next verse, because we can't trust in the stuff that just collects dust for joy, because they can't provide. It's insufficient. Don't lay for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves don't break in and steal. Look at that last one. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Is your treasure in your treasure or is your treasure in the Lord? For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. It seems to be that wealth is the number one contender for your heart. And when I say you, I mean me. For your heart and for your hope. And that's the reason why a lot of us feel tense when we talk about stuff like this. I get it. And whenever I give a talk, I always talk about, but the thing is, when we release our grip on wealth, then it releases its grip on us. You know, there's two guys I had lunch with this week, good friends of mine, and they have impacted your life and you don't even know. So I get paid a salary, and I've built relationships with people, and I've talked to people, and as a result, people give, and the portion that they give, and they give, pays for part of my salary and all that, and so they impact you. A few of you have met a couple of these guys, but you basically don't know them, and they've impacted your life. So let me ask you, do you think they regret giving this money? I don't even know these people. I mean, why would I? I'm not going to see. I mean, I send them the update videos. I send them all sorts of stuff. But they're like, I don't even know them. You know, I mean, I should just keep this money to myself. I mean, I regret giving them. No. No. I guarantee you they don't. I guarantee you that they don't just think to themselves, man, I just regret that I ever started giving to these people that I never, ever met. Now, the thing is, you don't miss money you give. You don't. Now, we do miss money. We miss money that we waste, right? We miss money that we lose. We miss money that we invest poorly. We miss money that we spend. We miss money maybe that we loan to family or a friend, you know, sometimes. But we don't miss what we give because that's being rich in good deeds. And as we see, that leads to a life that's truly alive. That leads to you being rich, not getting rich. It leads to you being rich. So you don't miss the money that you give. And still, we hold on so tightly to the money that we have. Isn't that crazy? It is. It's not even logical. If you believe in the Lord, it's not logical. It's like, okay, he says he'll provide. I'll have a rich life if I give. The more that I give, the more that I store. The more that I give, the more rich I'll become. But I'm still holding on to every last penny. And when I give it, it's just so strange. But it's because wealth is in competition with the Lord. Now, the Lord's not going to compete. I mean, because all these things will scream out for your time and your attention. The Lord's not one of them. He's just there. He should get these things, but he's not going to scream out, give it to me. No, he's not going to do that. But he's there. Now, quickly. Just imagine for a second, if, now this is individually, but we're talking about as a church too, if our and your and mine, if our hope at whatever level it started to go towards wealth, it started to go back toward the Lord. I mean, imagine if really that we placed what we rely on, you know, with our security and with our joy and with peace and even our provision, if we said, I'm gonna hope in you. I'm not gonna place my hope in riches, but on him, on you who richly provides. Imagine if we did, what would it do for your life? If you could say, you know what? I mean, imagine you really could say this, and some of you can, I'm sure. I look at my life right now and I have a rich, rich life. And we're not saying it because we know we have so much and I know that God's blessed me, but we actually feel it. We're thinking, I can't believe what God's doing in my heart. He's changed me. I went from unwilling to share to ready to share. I mean, how does he do that? How does he do that in a person without verbally speaking? How does he encourage our heart in such a way that I go from unwilling to maybe reluctant to willing and ready to share? And then we give, and then we see what the Lord does with it. We're just thinking, wow, I mean, I have a rich life just because of what God's done in my life. I mean, imagine if that was you. Imagine the impact on you and then the people around you. Because if you've ever known someone that has a rich life, that leaks on other people. I mean, they don't keep it to themselves. And other people start thinking, man, I want that. I don't know what they have, but I want that. There's something about them. They're thinking to themselves, man, they have a rich life. They may not use those words, but there's something about that individual. So imagine that's you. Imagine that's, if you're married, your spouse, if you're experiencing that together, if you have kids, imagine if you're experiencing that together. Imagine if you're able to look at someone else in your home and say, man, I see your life, it's changing, and you have such a rich life now. You just lost your job, but I'm looking at you. You have a rich life. I can see it in you. I mean, it would change everything. Imagine if we as a church become a people that are just, we're focusing on putting our hope on him who richly provides, and that just begins leaking into the community. And people start to see, wow, okay, what's this be rich thing you all do? You're not talking about get rich. No, we're talking about being rich. Two different things. What'd you do? We collected money. We just gave it away. Well, how much did the church keep? Nothing. They just gave it away to people. Why'd y'all do that? Well, I mean, because God's just done so much for me. How can I not? He's given me so much. How can I not give? This is why. You know, and just imagine. And wherever you are, you can start today. You don't think to yourself, I'm not going to tell you what not to think, but be careful, because sometimes we can think, oh, I'm just going to become the most, I'm going to give everything. And maybe the Lord puts that on your heart, but really, just start. Just start. Just say, where am I at? Where would the Lord have me be? And I'm going to probably need some help talking to people and how this is all going to work. And then what's a step? I mean, that's really it. What's a step? You know, if we've talked about finances in this series, it was the last series that we finished, 5 things God uses to grow your faith. That was a big part of it. And then we're doing Be Rich, so we're talking about it today. But I'll say this. If we as a church had this nailed, we wouldn't have to talk about it. I mean, if we were just rich in good deeds and generous, and we gave not only with Sunday, but then we wouldn't even have to talk about it. We'd talk about other things that we struggled with. We'd encourage each other in this. But as a church, we struggle in this. We struggle with giving. With our church, and then beyond, just in conversation with people, I know we struggle. And so part of my responsibility as I seek to grow with the encouragement of others is to help us all grow. And so this is kind of why we put the challenge. I think I have the slide that we put the challenge out for through the end of the year. And part of it was percentage giving. That's biblical. Let's say I have to start with 10%. Let's start with 5%, 3%. Grow from wherever you are. But just through the end of the year, and then at the end, you say, was it rewarding? Do you feel a little more rich as a result? Well, I gave away, but I do feel more rich. I think that's going to be the answer. So percentage giving through the end of the year, and then we'll just go from there. And then pray for it. Actually, it's 10 minutes. Again, there was a joke in that, and if you were here, you laughed. It was funny. But it's for 10 minutes, Monday through Friday. Just pray. When I say pray, maybe it's just read the Bible for 10 minutes. That's it. You know, we give our first. When we get paid, we're to give our first of that. We give our first, because otherwise, if we wait till the end, it's hard to give. But then also, it's good to give our first of our time with the Lord. So maybe wake up 10 minutes early and just read. And if you need help in that, talk to me. And then today it's Be Rich. And that was where we were just going to give to people that we're never going to meet, just like people have done for you and people have done for me. And so, you know, ultimately, the question is it worth it? Is it? Now, everybody would shake their head yes. But really, though, is it worth it? Because we'll say it's worth it, and then we can all be people that would just, in whatever category you want to find, still not follow the Lord and do it. All right, my favorite movie of all time is It's a Wonderful Life. We talked about it at the teen thing last night. It's my favorite movie. And so if you don't know the movie, I'm going to spoil the ending, but it's your fault. The movie's like 70 years old. You should have seen it by now. And so this is a guy that's talented, and he's smart, and he's adventurous, and he's going to change the world. He's about to head out, and circumstances keep him in his hometown. And he was about to leave later, but circumstances keep him in his hometown. He takes on the family job that he did not want to have. And this was probably a guy that was going to be very successful and probably get rich and maybe be rich. He was a great guy, you know, according to the movie. But circumstances keep him home. And so as a result of circumstances, instead of being rich, he's not. And it hits his family hard. The company he works for, it's a bank. There's money that's stolen, not just lost. It's stolen. And so there's no way for them to make up the money. And so he's in a place where he's like, the world would be better if I wasn't even around. And so that's the basis for that story and a lot of movies that copied it since. And so he goes about and he kind of sees what life would have been like without him being around. And then he ends up getting something more important than the money that he first wanted. He experiences something. Because when we follow the Lord, these desires that we have, he gives us the desires of our heart, the scriptures say. And so it doesn't look the way we think. But so it's going to be the desire that we specifically wanted in some way or something better. And for him, he got something better that he never would have known if he didn't go through this story. I mean, it's incredibly powerful. So he comes to the end, and so he comes home after this experience, and he just wants to see his wife, and he wants to see his kids, and he gets home, and he gets there, and then all of these people that he has helped along the way, that he has sacrificed for, are in his house, and remember they had lost the money, and they're saying things, look, George, I wouldn't have a home if it weren't for you. And they're giving their money, and they're giving their money, and they're giving so much that it overcomes all that the money that he needed, all right? And so now he has the money that he really wanted, but that's not what he's focusing on, because he's not talking nothing about getting rich or even being able to make up that money. He's not using these words, but his life is rich. And he realized the impact he had on so many people. And the scene that we're going to show you right now, there's something about it that whenever I see it, it's only a minute long, the part that I'm going to show you, all right? But his brother, who is in the military, he heard what was happening. And so he comes down because he wants to be part to help his brother out. And he says something in a toast that always gets me every single time.
I got Mary's telegram. Good idea, Ernie. A toast to my big brother, George, the richest man in town.
Yeah. All right, so we are to not put our hope in riches, but on him who richly provides. So we've all said that if we were rich, we'd be those who give, right? We've said that. I say, we give, and then we'll be rich. Let's pray.